Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Well, as it is the time of the season when we give thanks in a national recognition through the season of Thanksgiving, through the holiday of Thanksgiving, and so I want to focus today on giving thanks to the Lord, what it will do for you, what it will do for your life, and how it will bless you when you adopt a heart of thanksgiving, when you adopt a heart of gratitude. And so, you know, when we think about giving thanks to the Lord, when we think about worshiping the Lord, of course, He wants our praise, He wants our worship, He wants our adoration, but it doesn't make God any bigger, it doesn't make God any better when we worship Him. What it does is it builds us up, it strengthens us, it gives us peace, it gives us a sense of His love for us, it gives us a sense of walking with Him and a acknowledgement of who He is. And so we do this not primarily for God. God is going to be God no matter whether we worship Him or not, but when we worship God, it creates in us a heart of thanksgiving, it creates in us a heart of gratitude. And so we don't focus on the circumstances in our life that are troubling. We don't focus on those things in our life that would weigh us down and bring us down and depress us and give us despair. If you look at the circumstances of life, if you keep your eyes focused on the circumstances of life, you're always going to be in despair. You're always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be bitter, and you're always going to have reason to be angry and have unforgiveness. But when you think about the goodness of God, when you focus on the goodness of God and what He's done for you and what He has done for each and every one of us and how He gave His only begotten Son to us, He gave that perfect gift to us that we could know Him for all eternity, that we could have salvation and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and know God for all eternity, then you start to understand that God has given us the opportunity to have heaven here on this earth, that God has given us the opportunity to start eternity here on this earth. Ecclesiastes 3:11 is an interesting scripture. It says that God has created eternity in our heart, and He makes all things beautiful in His time. And so we can have eternity start right here on this earth. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you adopt a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness, and a heart of thanksgiving, you can start your eternal walk with the Lord right at that very moment. You don't have to wait until you die. You don't have to wait to see heaven until you die. You can do it right here on this earth. And so I encourage you, brother and sister, those of you who are listening to me today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to wait till the end of this message to give you an invitation. I'm going to encourage you and prod you right now to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and listen to this message with the same idea that God loves you so much. He loves you. He cares about you. He gave His only begotten Son just for you. So keep that in perspective. Keep that in mind as you listen to this message today. And if you are depressed, if you're in despair, if you have a heart that's weighed down with sorrow, with grief, maybe you've been separated from your loved ones, maybe you don't have people, family, or loved ones, or you've been through divorce, or something has happened in your life to give you a great sorrow, get your eyes focused on Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Turn your gaze to Him. And just start giving thanks for every little thing, for the air that you have to breathe, for the sunshine that you see, for the roof over your head, for the food on your plate. All of these things should bring contentment to you when you start to focus on them and you get your eyes and your heart off of the circumstances of your life and those things that can weigh you down, and just start praising the Lord and just start thanking Him. And as you do that, we have this holiday Thanksgiving, but it goes so much deeper than that. This isn't a secular idea. Thanksgiving actually came from godly people wanting to give thanks for the provision that they had, for the provision that God gave them when they first came to this country. And so when you get and adopt a constant every day, not just one day out of the year, not just one day designated to do that, but every single day, give thanks to the Lord. Be grateful for what you have. Develop and cultivate a heart of gratitude. And God will bless you, and you will you will find out that you will walk under an open heaven, that you will walk in a place where you will actually not even feel the circumstances, that the circumstances of your life will not bother you and they will not harm you. Well, I'm going to focus here today as we think about Thanksgiving and think about a heart of gratitude. I'm going to focus on a few passages of Scripture here. I encourage you to read through the Psalms. If you don't know the Bible well and you're not a Bible student, I encourage you just to pick up your Bible and start reading through the Psalms. This is a great time to read the Psalms. Many of them have to do with giving thanks to the Lord. Many of them have been written by King David, and he was a man after God's own heart. He sinned. He failed at times as well. He was just a man as we are, but he was a man after God's own heart, and he loved to praise the Lord. He loved to worship the Lord. He loved to give thanks and honor and glory to the Lord, and so I encourage you just to read the Psalms, and you will start to see the beauty of the Psalms in that they give glory and honor and credit to God, and he's certainly deserving of everything that David and that we say about him. Well, first of all, giving thanks constitutes a positioning yourself before God, and it acknowledges or allows you to acknowledge in your heart who God is. And so we give thanks to God simply for who he is, not for what he can do for us, not for what he can give us, not for what he has given us, and not for what we expect from him in the future, but simply to acknowledge him for who he is. Psalm 138, a psalm of David, verse 1. I will give thee thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to thee before the gods. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. On the day I called, I did answer. You did answer me, and thou didst make me bold with strength in my soul. And so we acknowledge God for who he is. We acknowledge him as the creator of the universe. We acknowledge him as the one who can bring salvation to us. We acknowledge him as the one who gives us life and allows us each and every day to stand up and enjoy the day and love the people around us, those who are close to us, even love people that we wouldn't be able to love otherwise, people that we would not have the desire to love. We can do that because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And God is love. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone, to him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, that is the stars, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Well, then in Psalm 136, verse 23, David wraps it up here. He said, who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Well, that's certainly a beautiful psalm. That's Psalm 136. I encourage you to go read that today on your own. I encourage you to read that and adopt that attitude in your heart that the loving kindness of God is everlasting. Psalm 316, you guys all know that. You people all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us so much. God loved you so much. And some of you out there may not feel like God loves you. You may have an issue with God. You may not feel like his love is for you. You may not have any humans or people on this earth that love you. You may feel like you're an outsider and you're isolated, you're lonely, you're in despair. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, no matter what lowly estate you are in, God loves you. He cared for you. He gave His only begotten Son to die for you, and it was not an easy thing for God to do, to give His only begotten Son, to see His Son hanging on that cross, bleeding and suffering. And His only begotten Son went through the torment and the torture and the suffering and the humiliation of hanging on that cross, and He did it just for you. He did it because He loves you. He did it because He cares for you, and He cares about your eternal salvation. And you may not understand that if you're a baby believer or a non-believer. You may not understand the totality of that, the theology behind it, but the only perfect sacrifice that God could make, the only perfect sacrifice that could be given to as a ransom and to as a reconciliation and a recompense for our sins, the only perfect sacrifice that could be given was the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that had no sin, that blood that had no guile, that blood that had no deceit or cunning, that blood that was perfect because Jesus had never sinned. And so God allowed His Son to hang on the cross for you and for me, who are sinners, to cover and pay the ransom, to pay the recompense for the sin, because we are all sinners. And so God, His love is deep. His love is without bounds. No matter what you do, no matter how far you've been away from God, no matter how far out in the wilderness area you've been, you can come to know God. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And God says, I not only will forgive you of your sins, but I will forget about them as far as the east is from the west. And so as we think about that God sent His only Son, then that is a way that we can understand the depth and the totality of God's love for us. And it is so deep, you'll never understand it all. It is so deep, you'll never fathom it all. But it is what it is. It is God's perfect love sending His perfect Son to die for us on the cross. Well, the second thing, when we give thanks to the Lord, that it does for us is it gives us strength. I'm going to repeat Psalm 138, verse 3 again. On the day I called, Thou didst answer me. Thou didst make me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, when they have heard the words of Thy mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth Thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Thy right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of Thy hands. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, and I know that there's trouble, there's peril, that we're in perilous times, that these are times of sorrow, these are times of birth pangs. And so there's great trouble. We see a great sorrow here in this nation, people shooting each other without cause, random mass killings all over the place, and all kinds of lies and deceit coming down from the government. And so you know that we are in perilous times, and so it's going to take the strength of God to strengthen us to be able to stand up to these perilous times. It's going to take the strength of God to encourage us to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you have illness, when you have despair, when you have disappointment in your life, and everybody has to deal with those things. Everybody has to deal with despair and depression and abandonment and betrayal, and everyone has to deal with being taken advantage of and exploited. And of course, some people much worse than others. Some people have an abundance or a double portion of betrayal and exploitation. But God is with you. He will strengthen you to walk through the valley of shadow of death. He will strengthen you. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou will revive me. Thou will stretch forth Thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Thy right hand will save me. Well, that right hand is Jesus Christ. That's a reference to Jesus. But we know the devil wants to take us out. We know the devil wants to come into our lives and into our families, into our churches. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know that the enemies are out against us. We know that the enemies are going to try to take us out. They're going to try and take us out physically. They're going to try and bring death to us spiritually and physically. And so we know that God will strengthen us. And so when we give thanks to Him, we acknowledge that He is the one who strengthened us. We acknowledge that He is the one who can strengthen us to walk through these dangerous places. That when we acknowledge Him, when we say, "Thank you, Lord," even in the midst of dire circumstances, even in the midst of things in our circumstances that don't look good, that don't look promising, that look like there's despair and no hope on the future. When we give thanks to the Lord, even in those situations, it not only strengthens us for the battle, but it prepares us then for the next day. And so we can face each day with boldness, and we can face each day with strength that God gives us. Well, the third thing that giving thanks to the Lord brings into our life is it brings peace. And it gives us a sense of security, a sense of peace here. We have peace when we walk through this life, when we walk across this earth. We have peace that no one else can have, because the peace that comes when we give thanks comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, Paul said to the Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so he says, don't be anxious, don't be consumed with worry, don't be consumed with things that you can't change, things that are too big for you to handle. He says, in all things, in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so we can have the peace that otherwise we would not be able to have. We can have that joy that otherwise we would not be able to have. And I know, brothers and sisters, that there's some of you out there, you don't have any peace, you don't have any joy, and it's because you're not praising the Lord. You're not thanking Him for what He has given you. You're constantly wishing that you had more, or you're wishing you were someone else, or you're wishing you had different circumstances. And I just encourage you today to start thanking the Lord for what you have. Start thanking Him and be grateful for what you have. Be content with food and with clothing and with shelter. And when you do that, when you thank Him and take everything to the Lord in prayer, in everything through prayer and supplication, that is a plea for mercy, because we recognize that we don't deserve anything that we have. And so grace has been given to us, not only the grace to stand each day, but the grace of salvation. God sent His right hand. He gave us His right hand to strengthen us. And so when we have that kind of thanksgiving in our heart, then we adopt a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of gratefulness that transcends all of the things that are going on in our life. Well, I'm going to close here today with Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about being anxious and as opposed to being thankful. And He says here in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In other words, you have to make up your mind. Are you going to worship the Creator, or are you going to worship the creation, those things that God gave us? If you're going to worship the Creator, that's what God wants you to do, is to acknowledge who He is and that He is the Creator of all the things that you have. Matthew 6:25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" And so I ask you today, brothers and sisters, do you think that you're worth more than the birds out there? Are you worth more than that sparrow, where God knows every a feather on that sparrow? Well, let me tell you, he knows every hair on your head. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows whether you love him, whether you worship him, whether you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. And if you have never done that, today I urge you to ask Jesus to come into your life, to come into your heart. You get down on your knees and do business with God today, and not only thank him for who you are and where he has taken you and where he has led you for every circumstance in your life, but also that he would come in and forgive you of your sins and take your heart and turn it into a heart of flesh from a heart of stone. And I ask you, if you have made that decision today or you are going to make that decision today, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you've made that decision to serve the Lord Jesus, to accept him as your Savior, and I'll get some information and some literature to you to help you on your walk. Well, God bless you today. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and we thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week.